Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 72 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. Today's episode, as usual, brought to you by Vortex, the power of optics. Thank you to Vortex Canada for continuing to support the CCFR Radio Podcast. So today on the show, I'm going to have Tracy Wilson on. I'm going to talk as fast as I can. As you hear, I have lots of coffee this morning. But there's a lot to talk about. And I don't want the podcast to be 50, 60 minutes. And my segment with Tracy, I just recorded it, and it's about 25, 30 minutes. So there's a couple of things I need to talk to you about too. So I'm going to try to rattle them off as quickly as possible. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is season two of the CCFR's Canada Downrange is now available online on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in CCFR channel. You'll find it. There's a playlist there. You can start from episode one and go all the way through. Now, really important to probably just to say again is some people are like, well, it's on a specialty channel. You're preaching the converted, all the rest of that stuff. And I know I've addressed this before, but what's really important is what you need to do, your role in this whole thing. So it's on a specialty channel because, people are like, this needs to be on global. It's like they will never, ever allow that. The mainstream media will never allow Canadians, mainstream Canada, to see what real Canadian gun culture actually is. They will never allow it. Okay, I can't say that strongly enough. Okay, and the mainstream media in Canada are being paid $2 billion, not only to exclude us, but to villainize us. Okay, now I know that sounds very inflammatory to some people, and to some people they just don't like hearing it, but it's the truth. They will never show you what real gun culture looks like. They'll never go out of, they will not lift a finger. Okay. Yeah, they'll have me on, they'll have Tracy on, to answer for the crimes of unlicensed people or even, the odd handful of licensed people that have done something wrong in Canadian history. Yeah, that's our side of the story, apparently. But, a Liberal MP gets threatening phone calls or angry phone calls. I don't even know if they're threatening. But if they're threatening, they should be reported to the RCMP. But if they're just angry, that's actually your constituency telling you something. But that apparently is newsworthy. Okay, Tracy and I get threats, some of them deadly threats, personal deadly threats, all the time. When I say all the time, I'm talking, veiled threats on a daily basis, actual physical threats probably on a weekly or monthly basis. Okay, and some of the threats I've gotten, I've gone to the RCMP about. Really horrible stuff, right? But nobody's in a big rush to make that a national story on CBC. So, going back to Canada Downrange, do you think that they're actually going to show Canadians what real gun culture is? Do you think that they're going to lift a finger to say, well, here's why gun owners are so angry? It's not that they're just racist, misogynist, xenophobes, Islamophobes, violent white supremacists, far right figures. Oh, that's how they describe gun owners all the time. That's not a problem for them. Do you think that people that are promoting a view of gun owners in that respect are going to actually show something like Canada Downrange, where you get to see what 99.9995% of gun culture actually is? People getting together at the range, having a barbecue, bringing, having ladies' days, ladies laughing, like, this has changed my opinion. It's like, oh no, they're not going to show that at all. So when we have something like Canada Downrange that took a tremendous amount of effort. Now remember, doing a television show like this, or even bringing sports shooting to Canadian television, has never even been attempted in the past, much less actually successfully executed. Forget it, okay? And no gun group has ever even thought about doing it. It took a tremendous amount of effort because we were starting from zero to make that happen. Season one was a battle. I almost got a nervous breakdown over it. But anyway, but it happened. And season two is brilliant. It's beautiful. It really is has fulfilled that promise of what Canada Downrange was supposed to be. So here's where you come in. We have created it. You guys funded it. We actually did it. And now your job is to take these seasons that are available online and email it to friends, to put it on your social media, to say to your buddy, just like, you know, I know we disagree on guns. I know it's hard for me to explain why guns are so important in my life. It's hard for me to explain why it's such an injustice that the government wants to take our guns because of the actions of criminals or madmen. Okay, I know you're not, you know, we don't get a lot of support from the mainstream media, or you think, well, it should be on the news if you really were being treated unjustly. The anti-gunners say, you know, that you're just getting your toys taken away. Like, just to really put yourself in the boots, in the shoes of somebody that doesn't know anything. They don't have any way to really understand that. But you know what? That's not true, because they do. You can send them an episode of Canada Downrange. In fact, specifically, episodes 2 and 3 right now are really good. Episode 1 as well, right? But 2 and 3 show all kinds of different firearms being used. Episode 1 is long-range shooting. Great episode. And yeah, but you know, we're not losing those specific guns right now. But the other episodes, those are guns driven by a lot of guns that we're losing. So this is an opportunity for you to send that to someone. Just say, you know, you really want to know what gun people are like here. Here's episode 2. Okay, so this is your job, and take it seriously. Like, as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, do it. Think about all of the people that you have contact with in your personal circle that you've had such a hard time explaining what our culture is like, and send them that episode and make it a personal favor that they watch it and understand why you're so frustrated, why you're so enraged that you're being attacked and having your property taken. Why? Because gang members are shooting each other in downtown Toronto, or some madman's running around dressed as an RCMP officer shooting people in Nova Scotia. That's why I can't own firearms. You know, you're going to have to make the effort into communicating that. Just go, that's not good enough, right? That's not good enough. So anyway, that's what that tool is really for. Now I'm going to switch over to gun clubs. Gun clubs should be pushing this. And if you're a member of a gun club or you're on the executive, listen to what I'm saying really, really, really carefully right now. Your role there right now, you can't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's not a stinking option, because if we lose semi-autos and we lose handguns, forget it. You got no club. Okay. There is no gun club. So it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing right now. You know, the war has come to your door. So here's what you need to do. You need to talk to your membership. So whether that's through social media, whether that's through meetings, whether that's letter mail, whether it's email newsletter, and step by step, tell these people exactly what they need to do. People need to be told step by step. That's why if you go to firearmrights.ca or ccfr.ca, you go there, there's a button there. It says, what can I do? And step by step, if you do these things, you'll be further ahead than you were 5 minutes ago. Well, it probably takes 10 minutes to do those things. Or you know what? Let's be generous. It takes an hour. If you put in 1 hour of work, you know, just to advocate for yourself, like that will make a difference. And if we had 1 million people doing that, we wouldn't have a problem right now. But it's not. It's about 40,000 people that are really politically active that have a firearms license, right? It's a very small number. So the rest of the people are doing what they should be doing, working and trying to make a living and live the right way and all the rest of that stuff. They shouldn't have to do this stuff, but you know, it has to be done. So tell your gun club, you have to get episode 2 or episode 3, or watch as the episodes come up, and they have to send them to their members, right? The link and everything, and explain step by step what they should do. Go to 5 people that you know that don't own guns, that you've had a conversation about guns, and ask them as a personal favor to watch that episode and tell them, here's what I want, and this is a big part of it. Here's what I want you to take out of it. Don't just say, watch this. They'll be like, okay, I watched it. Yeah, it looks like everybody was having fun. You need to change their minds, right? So say, watch this and understand that this is what 99.995% of the firearms community looks like. And this is why what I said before is not an appropriate justification to take my guns away. It's not right. And people can't argue with it. If they watched it, how do you argue with that? You can't. So it's really important. The clubs have to play a role. Now, speaking of clubs, a lot of clubs have sent us money, and a lot of clubs are supporting us by posting our links and sending our links around and posting our information and using tools like Canada Downrange, using tools like the quiz, right? Using tools like the explainer videos. No gun group has ever done this in the history of Canada before. Okay, we've made these tools. This is the kind of stuff that we're like, if only, right? Because remember, a lot of these projects at the CCFR, it's us sitting there like, how do we improve our situation? And it's a group of us sitting around going, you know, if only we could have a quiz that you could send around. If only we had explainer videos. If only we had television shows. If only we had somebody lobbying, you know, every week on Parliament Hill. If only we directly could take the government to court. If only we were strong on social media. If only, like, all these things the CCFR has done, right? And it's taken 5 years for us to get all that accomplished. But we've done it all. You know, you talk about one big org, you've got it, right? It happened. And it happened. I'll tell you exactly why that happened. I know I'm digressing and running all over the place, but I got all this bottled up inside that I really want to communicate to you. You know how it happened? Is you had the right group of people that were interested in working every single day, all day long, and then you had a community that supported them, just like the gun clubs are starting to support us now. A lot of gun clubs are supporting us in our lawsuit, and a lot of individuals and some very large donors have decided to support us. And that is the reason why we could have done all of the stuff that we've done, because you trust us and you're supporting us. So don't ever think that, you know, somebody that sends us $10 or somebody that sends us $5,000 is not the reason why this all happened. Without you, we're a stinking Facebook group. Okay, so don't ever underestimate how important your support is to all this and the role that you played, just equal to the role that all of us at the CCFR have played. So anyway, we wanted all this stuff. It's done. So we've created the television show. We've created all that material. Your job is to get it out there. Super important. It can't happen without you. So step-by-step instructions. The gun clubs have to send out our links with instructions for people to do things and implore them to do them like I'm imploring you to do them. Okay? We have to get people active. So send the stuff via email. Send it, you know, any way that you possibly can. Get people to watch and ask them for as a personal favor to watch that and understand why you're so frustrated, right? See, the anti-gunners right now, I know I'm going on and on about this, but this is really important because this is what I live every day, right? The anti-gunners are out there, you know, displaying the frustration of gun owners as hate, where they, you know, we hate the rest of Canada, we hate victims, you know. Well, just because of our toys, we don't want our toys taken away because we're all horrible, infantile, far-right, white supremacist, whatever label they want to throw on us. And people have to understand why we're frustrated is because we're being victimized for no good reason. It's no more complex than that. But you need the material, like the material that we've created for you, to do that. Okay, I'm beating that to death, but it's really important. This is part of the public relations function. This is part of winning hearts and minds. And it's an uphill battle. Nobody feels sorry for gun owners. Okay, you should see the hate mail I've gotten from our post-media campaign. Hate mail, man. You know? So, anyway. Next thing. The contest on gundebate.ca, the contest for the quiz, if you guys have gone there, if you haven't, you got to go there and spread that. That quiz is really important. Your gun club has to share that quiz. And again, the quiz and Canada Down Range, tell people to send that to people that they've argued with in the past about gun control. Say, do the quiz so you can learn something. And it's fun, too. There's videos on there and everything. So as to entice people to take that quiz, we lured them in with a chance to win $50 Amazon gift certificates. That contest is over. We've got people getting the reports out of the website right now and sending out all of those gift certificates as we speak. So if you won, one will come in your email. If you haven't, you're not going to get one. So, but really appreciate you taking the quiz and make sure you send it. I can't say that enough times. When it comes to television, as you guys know, we did a couple of television projects. We did 2 one-hour episodes on the gun ban with Wild TV. We appreciate our partnership with Wild TV doing that. I think Wild TV did well on it too. So everybody wins when we do these kinds of projects. And the online response has been really great too. I've got more television projects coming. So I've got another 1 hour special about our court case coming out on Sportsman Channel. And that'll be sometime in August. So look for that. We also, we build into all of these projects the ability to upload this, distribute it on online platforms immediately after the first airing and in perpetuity. So again, that stuff that you should be sharing. When it comes up there, don't just watch it and go, that was awesome. Watch it and start sharing it with people. That's the most important part. So that's great. And I've got some more television projects on top of that. I can't talk about them right now, but there is more coming. So, you know, the television stuff is really important because we need those tools and we need to get the word out as well. And we also need to have the rest of our community support us too. The ultimate situation for me, you know, running the CCFR and trying to execute these projects and trying to be that one big organization, which we are, but to grow it even to so that we're even, you know, have even more influence, is that my ultimate situation is there's a large group of people, maybe a million gun owners or even half a million, that are doing just a little bit to help. And the only way that we can get there is to motivate gun owners to send us $40 or $10 or a donation or sponsor something, right? That's how you do it. And if I have funding, I can do more things. If I have funding, I can continue to ramp up. Like right now, we are putting out a lot of work and it's fast and it's big work, right? Like nowhere in Canadian history has a gun group ever had a one-page open letter across 17 different newspapers in print and a full-page article, sponsored article, 750 words with an infographic across the entire country. Never has that ever been done. You know, they've never, no gun group has ever had a television show. No gun group has ever made explainer videos. No gun group has ever had a social media presence like we do. You know, it's, and it comes because we have a lot of people doing at least just a little bit to help. So, you know, I don't want people giving everything that they possibly can because you guys have other priorities. We all have other priorities. There's a pandemic going on. So I know I've been going on and on, but it's really important stuff. I'd rather have a lot of people doing just a little bit, and then that would make us a very even more powerful organization, and I could do even more. So how you do that is you get other gun owners involved, and that's where tools like Canada Downrange and the quiz and all the rest of the explainer videos and the newspaper stuff, send that around to everybody you can and tell your hunting buddies and your casual firearm owner buddies, you know what, you're going to lose your guns. Okay, they've already banned a lot of pump-action shotguns, semi-auto shotguns, and even bolt actions. That's a fact, no matter how much Bill Blair denies it, right? Guns that are apparently too powerful for you to have. Well, they keep moving that line down, and you won't have anything, right? So anyway, that's all. That's what I wanted to cover with you. It took a lot longer than I thought, than that I wanted, but this is all really important stuff at this point in time. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back with Tracy Wilson. Hey everybody, this is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. All right, on the Skype, I've got Tracy Wilson of the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights. How's it going, Tracy?
Hey, Gil Taka, doing okay. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Awesome.
All right, what do you got for us?
Well, I've got top of the news right now is we've got some action on our court case. So as many of you may know from reading the web article that I published yesterday, Wendy Sukier from the Coalition for Gun Control has applied for intervener status on our case. So what that means is she wants to be able to add her voice and her air quotes expertise to the case. She'll be providing a sworn statement, an affidavit to the federal court with, of course, what she considers evidence. I believe it will be up to the judge to make a decision on whether that's truthful or factual or not. So that'll be exciting. I know a lot of people were sort of worried, you know, what does this mean? And for me, actually, I think at this point, it's a benefit to gun owners, because not only is it the gun owning community of Canada taking the federal Liberal government to court, as well as the RCMP, we now also have the anti-gun lobby tangled up in this. So it's a threefer. I'm perfectly happy with it. I look forward to it. And yeah, game on, girl. Let's get it done.
Well, so. Yeah. And my understanding is that all the submissions play a part in the decision, in that the judge actually rules on whether their case, you know, their claims were proven or not. That's my understanding. Again, I'm not an expert in these types of processes, but that was one of the most important reasons why we did this, is we want the government and their allies to present their case and have a judge rule on whether it's true or not. So, and apparently we will get that.
Yeah, well, excuse me. And that's what makes it a lot different than court is, you know, when you've got people testifying at government committees, whether it's at the House or the Senate, you know, oftentimes they're saying things that aren't true or things that are their opinion and not backed up by the facts or any science. And for that matter, you've got MPs who stand up in the House of Commons and lie all the time. And it's frustrating to people because they feel like, you know, aren't these guys under some kind of oath or promise to tell the truth? And the fact is they're not. So that's where it's a little bit different, is court literally looks at facts and the judge can rule whether something is truthful or factual or not. Whereas politically, it's more or less theater, right? It's trying to portray your opinion or your train of thought in a way that's convincing people. Whether or not it's accurate is totally irrelevant. So, yeah, so I'm excited, actually. I think, you know, I'm not entirely sure if she thought this out fully, but yeah, bring it on. I say let's do it. I love the fact that it's, you know, gun owners against the Liberal government, the RCMP, and the Coalition for Gun Control. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. And they're using Osler's, which is not a small firm. I would be curious who's paying for that. But, you know, there's always murky stuff when it comes to the Coalition for Gun Control or the doctors group or whatever, where they get money. They get money from corporations and they get benefits from government, whether it's cash or resources or what have you. You know, the Coalition for Government's office is paid for by the provincial government of Quebec, is my understanding. So,
yeah, Pauly Sussouvien actually uses a medical health facility as their office. So it's paid for by the taxpayers. So, yeah, there's some shady stuff going on there. I know Tim Nametz from iPolitics put out an article the other day, and I guess he went through the painstaking task of going through all the thank you posts I've been making to businesses and ranges. And by the way, thank you to everybody who's been stepping up. And anyways, he's added those up and come up with a number that he thinks that's our fundraising number. Of course, that doesn't include any anonymous donations or personal donations that gun owners themselves have made. But he went through a painstaking process to compile that data. And then, you know, also put in there that the Coalition for Gun Control is represented by this, you know, renowned top law firm, but not a word about their funding. Right. So, yeah. I mean, this may be our David and Goliath moment, but at this point, I think we might be Goliath, because I think we've got the grassroots support of Canadians and everybody knows it. So,
yeah, well, we're certainly the righteous competitor here, because it's everyday Canadians putting money, you know, into this movement. There's no big corporation sitting here like Airbnb promising $300,000 to a bunch of doctors that clearly don't need the money anyway. You know, and they funnel the doctors group funnel all of their donations through Philip Berger's personal email address at St. Michael's. I mean, shady, man. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, just interact me, you know, just EMT me your money. I promise you it'll be okay.
Everything's
it'll
fine.
Go to the fight. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Well, next up is I'm looking for ladies. So what's going on here is every year, as you guys know, the CCFR Women's Program, which is a group of volunteers, we all get together and we fundraise for our women's program projects, which basically boils down to hosting these ladies' range days all across the country. We have literally hosted hundreds of these, or at least helped participate in sponsorship of them. Now, that money just doesn't come out of thin air. We've got to fundraise for it. So what we do is we get a bunch of girls together. These are authentic, fun, classy girls. They're actual CCFR members. This isn't, you know, a smut calendar with hired models. These are literally the girls of the CCFR. We get together. We have a fun weekend. We've got a photographer there. It doesn't cost the girls anything. We get together and we create a really creative, interesting project, which turns into our CCFR Gunny Girl calendar, which shows real women of the CCFR with their favorite guns in some really cool settings. And then, of course, we sell the calendar, which is also a bit of a raffle ticket for some free draws that are included all year long. So it's a wildly successful program. But of course, we need girls to step up, volunteer their time to come hang out with me and all the other ladies of the CCFR, have an awesome, fun weekend. And at the same time, out of the array of photos that get taken of you, we choose one for the calendar. Excuse me. And the rest go to you to do with whatever you like. So there's a great benefit to it. We are a little short on ladies so far this year. So if you have any interest at all in helping out with this project, feeling like a supermodel for the day and just having a lot of fun with some other women with similar interests, send me an email at tracy.wilson@firearmrights.ca, or you can also send it to the general mailbox at info@firearmrights.ca. We'll get back to you. And see if you're available to come hang out with us. We will be doing our weekend photo shoot in the Kingston area. So if you're within driving distance, that would be fantastic. We usually get Colin on the barbecue and we've got the photographer. You just bring yourself and your guns and we have a great time. So deadline for submissions is July 15th. For more information, send me an email. So yeah, come on, help out. It'll be a lot of fun too. And awesome. Then... yeah, I'd like to talk about the Twitter toilet. So I don't know if it's a lot of frustrations going on lately because of our court action and our successes with support from everybody from law enforcement. You know, yesterday I was opening up a stack of mail and there was at least a dozen checks in there from people who were not gun owners. You know, they said, don't bother contacting me, but here's a donation because I support what you're doing. And, you know, that grassroots national support is literally pouring in. I still have yet to get through the stack of mail. And that's 5 days worth of mail. Like, it's just, it's overwhelming and wonderful to see. And at the same time, it's causing a complete Twitter toilet. So we've got Dr. Ahmed made a post the other day, a tweet. She retweeted Shannon Watts from the States. And she basically said, that's it. We've just got to ban civilian gun ownership, period. And I think it's very telling that this isn't about public safety. This isn't about, you know, good guys versus bad guys. This isn't about focusing on crime or reducing, you know, any of the variety of violent means. What this is about is pure gun control. It's pure just focusing on legal gun owners. So that was pretty interesting. We've also got Polly Sussouvier on the total attack. They made a post about you and I, Rod, and about our pinned posts on our individual Twitter accounts and talked about, you know, how we're, you know, throwing this hate around and this hate speech. And but if you actually read her pinned post, it's their words, their people's language. Wendy Sukier associating legal gun owners, hunters, and sport shooters, saying that because we have range time and we go out hunting, we're just practicing to be more efficient killers. And I, as a mom and a grandma, when I read that, it was appalling. So yeah, I've left it as my pinned post for a long time. In fact, it may stay there in perpetuity because I think it speaks to the mindset of somebody like Wendy. And then I think yours is a variety of commentary from, you know, from various doctors with everything from, you know, go F yourself, kill yourself, like all this crazy talk. And yet here Polly is retweeting our pinned post saying it's hate speech. like, I don't even think they understand what they just did. They literally just put out the vile words of their supporters out to the public. So, and then they're playing victim for it. I did the, like, you see that GIF people post of the guy who just shakes his head and is like, what? That's literally what I did when I saw their tweet. I just thought, like, you don't understand what you just did. But hey, yeah. I mean.
Well, it was Alan Drummond, right? That's what I've got pinned.
Yeah.
And it's Alan Drummond just, you know, slinging insults. And you know what? It's, again, you always have to look at the details, right? Because they paint themselves as victims. You know, they call us every name in the book, racist and misogynist and xenophobic and just you name it. They just sling this stuff all day long. And if you actually, you know, dig a little bit, you find out, well, why did Alan Drummond even sling all those insults at us? It was because we offered to sit down for a polite debate with them and give $15,000 to help inner city youth in Toronto. And we were going to tape the whole thing and actually come down and find some common ground. I even wrote out the rules. It was the big charity challenge, right?
Yeah.
And just us making that offer to sit down and talk with them with ground rules and everything. That's what triggered them to just throw every name and insult in the book. And that's what's pinned there. And so Polly goes and they repost that. And they're saying, see how hateful, you know, the CCFR is. Like, I think I'm going to back you up on, they see how much money we're raising. They see that we're not taking it. We're battling them. We got TV shows and specials and lawsuits, and we're throwing everything. And, you know, I don't want to digress too far, but, you know, this is what a real gun lobby is supposed to do. They're supposed mm-hmm. to do all of the things that we're doing and get them done, actually work hard and get this stuff done. And they see that. They haven't had to face that before, remember, right? Other than the last few years. Now they're facing it and they see that people are responding and supporting us and they're panicking. And they're panicking so bad that they're doing stupid things like going, hey, look at how crazy these people are. It's like, yeah, it's us posting your stuff, man.
Right? That's what's so mind-boggling to me is I look at all this hate from the CCFR, but the tweets are their words, the words of their people. It's just, it's almost laughable, actually. I don't know. I got to shake my head some days. Then you had No Guns in Canada, sweetheart of Polly Sussouvier, make a post. He's just getting so angry with gun owners and just really losing his mind over there. And he made a post with a picture of a tank with a 50 cal on it and said, you know, if you gun owners aren't going to comply with this ban, you know, they're going to cut your houses in half. Like, what is going on here?
Keep hammering holes into your house until they get you or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like these people are the most violent people.
Yeah,
they really are. They talk about using violence all the time. Gun owners never, very rarely, I shouldn't say never, because that's not true, but almost never use violent words because gun owners are familiar with what violence looks like. Whether you're a hunter, you know, you just see what guns do to animals when you harvest them, or you're somebody that's involved in the training business like I am. Like, I know what real violence looks like, and that's why it's the last resort, for God's sakes. That's why I don't talk about violence, because it's, you never want that. No, and these people are, they'll go to violence every time because they've never seen what violence looks like, you know? And unfortunately, like by the time they see it, that's when they realize, like, oh geez, we don't want violence because it's ugly and it doesn't solve anything. And so they're all for the government using violence on people that they disagree with. They're sick people. It's a very mm-hmm. difficult fight. It's very stressful. But yeah, this is a daily life over at the CCFR, right? Dealing with these people. They don't even know what they're fighting about.
Well, they're upset about everything. One last thing. We have an MP from Nova Scotia, Lenore Zan, who has, there's a couple news articles about it. She says she's since supporting her government's May 1 gun ban. You know, she's been, receiving vile messages and stuff like that, some kind of hate. And look, I am the first one to say we don't need that kind of conversation going on. We need to keep civil discourse. Nobody deserves to be on the end of it. But on the other hand, you know, I'm also the victim of some pretty vile abuse. So are you. And hatred. flung by these anti-gun leftists every single day, every day, horrible things, wishing me death, hoping my kids blow my face off, hoping my kids get hurt in an accident, like just stuff you can't, I recognize that most of it is just jibber jabber, but you know, she gets some emails and some nasty things and it's national news. Meanwhile, that's literally every day in my life for 4 years now. I've got a file with the RCMP. She should do the right thing and report it. However, instead, it's being used to portray gun owners as if we're some kind of crazy people. Sure, there's probably some gun owners out there in Canada who are upset and who left her nasty messages, and that's not appropriate. We don't support that at all. I would never do that. You know, I don't know what drives people to act that way. However, this is not new. This has been going on for years, and you know, we experience it firsthand at the hands of the other side. So little reminder to everybody just to try and keep it civil, keep it classy. We want to ensure that our message is being put out there in a rational, educational manner. I know how frustrating it is, but we've got other means to battle that. And that's court and public opinion.
Yeah, that's right. And we get that stuff every day. You know, I only, and if she's got threats like that, she should also post it or do something like say, hey, here's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. But it's always, yeah. And I'm not saying that she's not getting it, but I'm curious what people are sending her. If it's that concerning that the CBC would write a stinking story about it, right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
well,
must be really terrible.
Well, and I commented on her post and I said, look, nobody deserves to be a victim of that. If you are being subjected to that kind of treatment, do the right thing and report it. I've done it myself. I've reported it to the RCMP when I am the victim of that. And you should do the same. And she blocked me. So I don't know. I was trying to give her some support.
These people, man. I'm telling you. They're really something. Really just weak people. And now there's no place for threats like that, but you know, just the way they behave is just, and then they think they're taking the high ground morally. It's absurd. All right. And then I think we got one more thing, right?
That's what I had.
Okay. Well, I've got one more thing then.
Okay.
People are always asking us the question, do we endorse a specific candidate for the CPC, leadership? And, you know, we've been beating around the bush about that because it's a very difficult thing for us to, you know, we become, you know, when people in our community talk about, you know, we need one big group and all the rest of that stuff. And the CCFR has become that. There isn't anything that we don't do anymore, right? We didn't, you know, we didn't start the CCFR to be a lobby group, but there wasn't any lobbying going on. So we did that. We didn't start the CCFR to do lawsuits, but there wasn't anything, no gun group has actually ever directly sued the federal government. So it's like, well, we're going to have to do it, right? So we've almost had to fill in all these gaps because it wasn't being done. And I know that drives some people crazy, but it's just, it is what it is. So, you know, people understanding how influential we are in the community, you know, the candidates are saying like, hey, are you going to pick a favorite? Are you going to recommend somebody? Are you going to come out with report cards like we did in the last leadership election? And the answer is no. And the reason for that is because I think that it's unfair if we pick somebody, it's going to give them an unfair advantage. And I just don't think that's our role. Our role is to support whoever wins that race, and we'll break our back supporting them. So no, we will not pick someone, and we're not going to do report cards either. I just got asked about that by a candidate, and I like that candidate too, by the way. But no, we're not going to do report cards. And the reason for that is that all of the candidates have a good firearms platform. There's no Michael Chongs in there like there was before. You know, conservative says we don't need any guns. I was like, what? All of them are going to repeal C-71. All of them are going to repeal the ban. All of them are going to rewrite to some degree the Firearms Act. What they will actually truly do is something probably different than what they're saying. But the number one priority, and this is going to sting some people and they're going to get upset, the number one priority for who you should vote for winning the leadership election of the Conservative Party of Canada is whoever you believe can win against Trudeau, because I'll tell you this, if someone gets elected that has no chance on Trudeau, because you're like, oh, I'm voting my conscience because I like whatever's in their platform, you're going to lose everything. And when you're standing at the end of the next federal election going, I lost everything, but I voted with my conscience or whatever, I don't know that you're any better off. And that's very similar to the no compromise thing. Well, it's no compromise. We won't have any discussion unless you're going to repeal everything and everybody gets machine guns with no ID. Well, you're going to get nothing, right? Because you're asking for something that's not possible. So, and again, I know for some reason that's controversial in our community. And I don't think it's controversial at all. My number one goal is to get my guns back that are now banned and to get these people off my back so that we can regroup and take the next hill. Right now, if there's no conservative majority government in the next election, you're losing everything. And it's not just AR-15s, guys. It's all semi-autos, maybe all the way down to pumps and levers. I'm not kidding. It's going to be handguns too. You know, Tracy and I were talking earlier, and Trudeau believes he has a mandate to do all this stuff while, you know, enjoying a weakened minority government and losing the popular vote and full of scandals and all the rest of that stuff. But somehow he's like, okay, well, I'm going to take guns away from Canadians who have had them for hundreds of years. So, you know, if you don't think that everything's going to be gone, if he wins again, you're fooling yourself. They're coming for everything. So, you know, think about that very carefully. Who has the best chance of winning against Trudeau? Because that should be your number one priority. Now, here's the big thing. No matter who it is, no matter who wins, there's four candidates. I'm happy with any of them. No matter who wins, you have to get 100% behind that person, and you have to volunteer for your local MP or candidate in the next election. You have to do everything it takes to get a majority conservative government. And then once they're there, we've stopped the bleeding. Then you can go to you can fight for that next hill. You can say, well, you know what, conservatives, you promised this, we're holding your feet to the fire, all the rest of that stuff. Or you start looking at other alternatives. That's the time to do that. Right now, I'm telling you, I've said it how many times, but Trudeau wins again, it's over. It's over. This is the last election for gun owners. So that's what should be informing your vote this time. And again, I'm not trying to play favorites. I'm not vote, you know, I'm not advocating against anyone. They all would be great for gun owners. You guys got to make your own decisions, and we're just not going to do that for you. But that's what should inform that decision.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. We've got to kind of look past leadership to look at the big prize, and the big prize is a general election. And sometimes who I personally like the best, or who has, you know, the niftiest gun platform or whatever, and who can actually win a general election may not be the same person. So, you know, the idea behind the firearms report cards were to grade policy. But to be honest, that is not what's paramount right now. What's paramount is who has the ability to defeat Trudeau, because if not, then we will be lucky to have single shot shotguns at the end of this mess. So it's a red alert, like a five alarm problem here. So I hope people really, you know, can think about that. And I hate saying catchphrases like vote strategically, but literally that's what we have to do. So
yeah. And it's bad that we're in that position in the first place, but it is. We don't dictate the terms of the engagement, but we can only control what we do about it. So anyway, really important.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, at the end of the day, the report cards would be, you know, varying iterations of A's, right? So I don't see a point to have a debate with them or do report cards or do any of that, because they're all really good people and they've got great platforms. And, you know, they've stuck their neck out and they're doing something incredibly difficult. And I honor them all for doing that. However, we've got to keep the eye on the prize at the end, which is winning that general election. That's literally all that matters. So
yeah, absolutely. That's where I'm at. Okay. Well, anyway, thanks for coming on, Tracy, and thanks for the update. And yeah, that's Godspeed to us all.
We'll talk soon.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 72 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Again, special thanks to Vortex Canada, Vortex, the power of optics, for all of their help. And if I'm going to leave you with anything, it's this. If you are the executive of a gun club or you are an active member, make sure you sit down and talk to your club. Tell your the club executive, we need to meet, set aside an hour, and we need to have a highly important, seriously critical, highly detailed conversation about the club's role in events in Canada right now. The clubs are a real resource to get information out to the members, people that aren't on social media, people that aren't consumed with this stuff every day like we are. We need their help. Okay, so remember, what's important is that the clubs have to give step-by-step instructions, like as if you're instructing a two-year-old what you want them to do. Number one, what you're going to do is you're going to copy this link. Here it is. You're going to send it to these five people. You're going to ask them for a personal favor to watch this video. And the reason is to understand what gun culture really is like in Canada, not what they see on the news. It's critical so that they understand you as a friend, why you're so frustrated and why this is so wrong. Step by step, this is what your club needs to do, and send it out on the newsletter, not once, but twice, three times. They need to talk about it at meetings. If they have any kind of other outreach, they need to get the membership informed so that they can make their own decisions. Really, really important. Again, thank you to all the clubs that have been helping. I can't tell you how important it is that you guys are stepping up. You're the key to this whole thing. You know, we may not win this thing. That's the reality. It may not be something that we could win, but you are giving us the best chance at it. We are fighting like gun owners have never fought before in Canadian history. And it's because you guys are supporting us. No other reason. So everyone that's donated, everyone that's volunteered, every club that's gotten involved is because of you. Okay. As I said in the opening, without you, the CCFR is a Facebook group. Okay. So don't ever underestimate how important you guys are and how much credit you deserve and all the stuff that we're able to accomplish. So again, thank you very much. If you're not involved, get involved. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we will see you all next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.